From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, May 25th, 2018. And on this day, the number of unvaccinated Maine kindergartners is increasing, and that has some educators and health workers very concerned. And security risks along the northern border. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
First tonight, a spokeswoman for ND Paper says the company is not planning any layoffs in Rumford as it seeks to acquire the paper mill there, along with its workforce of more than 600 people. The company is a subsidiary of China-based Nine Dragons Paper. Today, Nine Dragons announced it will purchase the Rumford operation, along with facilities in Wisconsin and Ohio, from Canada-based Catalyst Paper for $175 million. Catalyst CEO Ned Dwyer said today that the sale of the three American properties would enable the company to pay down debts and develop its Canadian operations. Nine Dragons says it's looking to make its new mills, quote, competitive on a global scale. The deal's expected to close sometime in the second quarter. A growing number of parents in Maine are opting against having their school-aged children vaccinated against disease. Newly released data from Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention show that more than 5% of kindergartners in the state didn't get required vaccinations last fall, and that most of the parents in those cases cited philosophic reasons for their decision. Medical and school officials say they are concerned that the trend could make schools unsafe and lead to more disease outbreaks in the future. Robbie Feinberg has more.
In Maine, parents are allowed to exempt their child from vaccinations on three grounds. One is religious, another is medical, as when a child is too young or has a certain immune disease. The third and most troubling exemption for some in the medical field is philosophical. That's when a parent refuses to vaccinate their child due to personal beliefs, such as that vaccines cause autism or other problems. Ideas based on a now-retracted study that have been repeatedly refuted by scientists and agencies such as the CDC. Maine is one of 47 states that allows religious exemptions, and one of 18 states that allows exemptions for one's personal beliefs.
It's very concerning.
Peter Michaud is the chair of the Maine Immunization Coalition. He's concerned that over the past 3 years, the number of parents using that philosophic exemption has risen rapidly. Michaud says with more students unvaccinated by choice, it puts the people who can't be vaccinated, including infants and people with compromised immune systems and certain diseases, at risk.
With the rate going up, I think it's very worrying about how our school community as a whole will be protected in the future.
And school officials say they have limited options for convincing parents to vaccinate their children. David Theoharides, the superintendent of the Sanford School Department, says administrators in his district are vigilant about educating parents on the need to vaccinate.
We'll work with social workers to have, you know, the social worker will call the parent, they'll set up appointments for doctors, they'll find doctors for them. Because a lot of times we have families that are just, they don't even have a family doctor. So, you know, we'll try to connect them that way.
But despite those efforts, Theoharides says parents are ultimately the ones who have the power to exempt their child. According to state data, the rates of parents using the philosophical exemption have risen in some of his district schools in recent years. Theoharides worries that if that rate continues to climb, it could lead to more outbreaks of diseases such as pertussis, also called whooping cough. In fact, the district had an outbreak just last month.
Because we went through this recent pertussis outbreak, that concerns me. You know, why did we see this rise in pertussis cases all of a sudden?
In 2015, lawmakers submitted two bills that would have strengthened vaccination laws. A proposal from Democratic State Representative Linda Sanborn requiring that families consult with a physician before using philosophical exemptions passed both the House and Senate, but was vetoed by the governor. The same year, Democratic Representative Ralph Tucker of Brunswick proposed a bill that would have eliminated the philosophical exemption entirely. Tucker says after seeing the opt-out numbers rise once again, he plans to introduce a similar bill next year.
The purpose is to protect the school body, all the kids at school. You don't want to send a kid into the general school population if there are a number of people who are unvaccinated in that population.
However, Tucker says the fate of a new vaccination bill will likely depend on which gubernatorial candidate the state elects this fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
The legislature's watchdog agency is recommending that lawmakers do a comprehensive review of the state's bottle deposit law. It was first passed by voters in referendum in 1976. Mal Leary has details.
The Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability reviewed the history and operations of the bottle deposit law and concluded that lawmakers need to consider several changes to make it work more efficiently. The report also recommends the state collect more data to assess how the program is working. OPEGA Director Beth Ashcroft told the Government Oversight Committee she could not answer their questions because of a lack of data. Senator Tom Saviello, a Republican from Wilton, serves on the Oversight Committee and describes the bottle bill as a mess and says the next legislature should review the law from top to bottom. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The University of Maine's experimental potato lab, yes, there is one, has released a new potato. It's known as AF4659-12 and has been in seed markets since 2015. It will be known to consumers as the Pinto Gold. The Pinto Gold's a colorful red and yellow multi-purpose tuber, which developers say is especially good roasted. The Pinto Gold is the first new UMaine potato to make it to consumer markets since the lab released its Caribou Russet in 2015. You hear a lot of news about the nation's southern border, but what about security on New England's border with Canada? Some people believe when it comes to border security, the nation should focus ahead instead on the potential for terrorists to enter the U.S. from there. Lauren Madelon reports on the potential security threats along the northern border.
Customs and Border Protection pilot Gerhard Perry flies along the northern border, where Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York meet Canada. He flies an infrared camera-equipped Cessna on patrols that can last up to 4 hours. When people ask him about his work, he always has to explain it's the northern border.
When you ask the average American citizen about the border, what do you know about the border? They immediately go to the southern border. They don't even think about our border with Canada.
Before his northern deployment, Perry flew borderland missions in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, a mix of river, bramble, thicket, and border towns. So he knows both borders well and says you also have to look north.
You have large population centers within 100 miles of the border. You have Toronto, you have Montreal, where these organizations may be operating. If you're going to address terrorism, the northern border is where to look.
Perry was in the air in 2014 when word came about an act of terrorism that changed Canada, and with it a review of terrorism threats in Canada and security on its border.
This is CNN Breaking News.
A Canadian soldier has died after being run down by a car driven by a suspected Islamic militant.
First, a soldier was murdered in a deliberate hit and run near Montreal. The same week, an ISIS supporter killed a soldier at Canada's war memorial. He then entered Canada's parliament, where he was shot dead. In his cockpit, Gerhard Perry pulled in the signal from an AM radio.
As I'm flying, I'm looking over, and this occurred just a few miles from where we were. I was horrified. I was like, good grief, in Canada?
There are about 16,000 Border Patrol agents on the Mexico border. There are about 2,000 on the Canada border, which is twice as long as Mexico's. The U.S. Attorney for the District of Vermont, Christina Nolan, says she has concerns about the northern border.
One of the first things that naturally comes to mind is what we know to be certain radicalized populations in Montreal and other parts of Canada. And
Nolan recently met with Canadian prosecutors.
They indicated to me they had a healthy docket of cases pending that involved homegrown radicals who were attempting to travel overseas and fight for ISIS.
In response, Canada has made preemptive arrests. In the past 3 years, at least 10 students have been arrested before leaving Montreal allegedly to join ISIS. An alleged ISIS cell was uncovered in Ottawa in 2015, and in another case, a Kuwaiti-born Canadian has pleaded guilty to plotting attacks for ISIS in New York. In November, Canada's Minister of Public Safety, Ralph Goodale, revealed the number of people who've come back from places like Afghanistan.
The number of returnees known to the Government of Canada is in the order of 60.
Canada's intelligence service also says it knows of 180 people with ties to Canada engaged in terrorism activity abroad, with about half believed to be in Syria or Iraq.
We overemphasize security on the southern border, and we don't emphasize enough security on the northern border.
That's security specialist Howard Campbell at the University of Texas at El Paso, across the Rio Grande from Juarez, Mexico. His book, Drug War Zone, looks at trafficking in both cities.
If Homeland Security is really concerned with security and the biggest security threat is terrorism, we should be more worried about the Canadian border than the Mexican border.
President Trump's portrayed a southern border that's under siege. He stated that drugs and undocumented migrants are pouring into the country. He's made that assertion even as the administration's latest statistics for April show illegal border crossings held steady last month and that illegal crossings are in line with historical trends. In El Paso, Howard Campbell says people arrested crossing in from Mexico may be committing an illegal act, but he says they typically pose no threat of terrorism.
Because Mexican and Central American migrant workers are not a terrorist threat to the United States.
Canada's 2018 budget includes $173 million for greater security along the U.S. border. Intelligence sharing between the U.S. and Canada is robust, with a longer tradition of mutual trust than between the U.S. and Mexico. And that could mean U.S. law enforcement's presence on the northern border might continue to be dwarfed by what Washington has committed to the south. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Lorne Madelon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, May 25th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.